turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 7. This past week, one of our ladies texted me and said some of the ladies have been talking and that this month was the appreciate your pastor's wife and asked if they could do something. I said, well, that'd be fine. But I had no touch on any of this, Debbie. This is all them. I didn't do anything. After seeing that kissing thing, I should say turn to Song of Solomon, maybe. You know, turn there. We've been here a minute or two, and those are some of the early pictures. And as people asked me, why don't you sing, Pastor? I said, because after that time, they had said, you're never singing again, Dad. That's the last time you're singing with us. You can do a solo, but no one's going to sing with you. Well, in Luke chapter 7, and I really struggled. I have struggled today, and you're such a good people, a good church. But I know you wouldn't know this, but I left a whole page out of my message this morning. And I went back to try to cover it, but I couldn't do it. It was just Nancy Crook came out of the Spanish interpreting and said, well, Pastor, we got through it, you know. And I had two men walk by, shook my hand and said, are you not feeling well today, Pastor? You know, so, you know, I thought, yeah, no, I'm not feeling well. And I went home, Mr. Grumpy, and because I have a certain system. Every pastor has their own system. We do what works for us. And for some reason, I did not mark my last page of notes. I have a specific way that I mark my notes so I know what's front page, back page. And anyway, I had no marks. And I was giving, you know, I was closing, and I thought, I've got a whole lot more verses I haven't covered. Where are they at? So I'm looking through page 1 and 2 and said, no, I've covered all that while I'm talking to you at the same time. You know? So forgive me about that. And I may preach that again next year on Easter Sunday and give you the third page. Well, I'm not sure. We have the Lord's Supper tonight. It's a very special time. It's something the Lord told us to do in remembrance of him. And we're going to serve the Lord's Supper in just a moment. I always stress the importance and what a serious moment this is. And I always give some guidelines. I wouldn't really call them rules, but I give some guidelines whether people should take the Lord's Supper or not. No one has to take it. We don't force it upon you. We offer it. And you may not be in a position to take it. You don't have to be a member to take it. We'll cover some of these things in just a little while. But I wanted to take a minute. I thought, Lord, what can I bring the church right before the Lord's Supper? And I was thinking about just how much love we should have for our Lord. How much love we have for him. And not long ago, the Lord met with me in a very special way. I hope he meets with you that way. But he met with me in a very special way where the room was full of his presence. And I was overwhelmed by the amount of love that he bestowed on me. And I wish that I loved him more. And I wish that I loved him better. And I hope I love him right. But I think that we see a great example in Luke chapter 7 of evidences of much love for the Lord. Now, I'm going to back up to verse 36, I think. I think I'll start there in Luke chapter 7. And I love this passage. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired him, Jesus, that he would eat with him. These Pharisees were always meeting with Jesus, and they were trying to trap him and trying to, snare him. And he went in into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. We don't know this, but there's a lot of great speculation that this woman was Mary Magdalene. She had been possessed with devils. She was a terrible, immoral woman, a great sinner. And the Bible says was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat with the Pharisee's house, or in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. Now, I think this is key. You need to see this. He's not verbalizing this. He's looking at this, and he's judging this from within. So he speaks within himself, saying, this man, if, it's questionable now, he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, his inward thoughts, God addresses. And Jesus answering said unto Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Simon, buckle your seatbelt. I got a few things to tell you. And he said, Master, say on. And then he goes into this illustration. He said, there was a certain creditor that, or which, had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For such love, for she loved much. Now that's our proposition. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same is love little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. The Bible says that she loved much. And I want to speak to you about the evidences of much love. Simon the Pharisee, he made the correct assessment. This poor woman who had been forgiven of much, loved much, and she showed it. We see a great appreciation for her sins that are forgiven. And I think that we see someone like this and we see how maybe despicable or deplorable they are. But yet, at the same time, we feel like that we're not so bad. Do you feel that way about yourself? Oh, you may not have demons. You may not be a woman or man in the streets. But I want you to know, in comparison to the glory of God and his righteousness, we are evil. We are wicked. And we see these attributes of her great appreciation. Notice, I'm just going to touch on them. There's seven. Notice, first of all, much love. She loved much. Much love weeps. In verse 44, the Bible says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Not only were these tears, tears of great repentance and tears of great regret of her past sins, but I believe these tears were shed from the deepest gratitude that her sins were forgiven. I think that we get over that. I think that maybe we even grow to an arrogance that we deserve it, forgiveness. We see the tears here, and these tears of gratitude towards God. she is contending perhaps his tender mercies that are there every morning, fresh and new. What makes you cry? Jesus cried. We know in Luke or in John 11, verse 35, Jesus wept over the death of Lazarus. Then he brought him forth. We know that he wept over the city of Jerusalem in Luke 19:41. It says, "And when he had come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." What do you weep over? When you disappoint him, when you fall short of his approval, when you don't even consider what his will or his desire would be, does it make you weep? She weeps over him. We see the Apostle Paul who weeps in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I have found that the greater Christians that I find in the Bible, some of the most deplorable, most sinful people, that first generation Christian, have a tender heart because of their love for God. Much love weeps. Notice, secondly, that much love washes. He says in verse 44, "But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head." There's been many of a dusty foot and a filthy life that's been washed because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us here are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. We can try to do better. We can be humanitarians and try to be a good human being and try to help our fellow man, but that's not salvation. We can have great sorrow for the wrong that we've done, but that's not salvation. We need that which is going to eradicate our sin, not something that's going to try to balance it, that our good works might outweigh our bad works. It will never happen. And let me tell you, we're much worse than what we think that we are. But we need something that's going to wash away our sins. And the only thing that will do that is the blood of Jesus. It's not religion. It's not the baptistry. It's not the rosary. It's not the sacraments. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And we see here that she washed his feet. Hey, much love weeps and much love washes. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." Love covers that multitude of sins. Much love weeps and much love washes. But notice she shows us that much love bows. In verse 44, the latter part, it says, "And wiped them with the hairs of her head." She's wiping his feet. She's washed his feet with her tears of brokenness. We ought to be broken over our sin. She washes his feet with her tears of great sorrow, and yet also rejoicing, relieved of her sin burden. But here she washes his feet with her and then wipes them with her hair. She bows down before him. And listen to me, no one goes to heaven before bowing to Jesus first. No one. We're not someone who's better than someone else. It's not about me being better. I'm no better than anyone else. I too am a sinner. But I tell you, I've been to the foot of the cross. And there I've acknowledged my sin and I beg God for forgiveness. And he has given me that forgiveness. You see, much love bows. She puts her glory, her hair, a woman's hair is her glory, and she wipes his feet with her glory. I think of what John said in John 3, verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." In other words, we must bow ourselves before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our hearts must bow if Jesus is to be served and if we are to love him properly. We see that much love weeps, it washes, it bows, but let me say much love kisses. I appreciate the kisses of affection that I get, not just from my wife, but sometimes from my children, and sometimes and oftentimes from my grandchildren. But we see here that her lips are lips of affection, her affection pressed against his feet. the feet of the body, the dirty, the dusty, making the members of the body, often of all the members, the feet are neglected, but not here. Her love kisses. And because of her great sin, her great love refused to overlook any part of the Savior. We see that her love anoints. In verse 46, it says, "But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." And we see that the Heavenly Father has anointed Jesus' head for the work of ministry, but the forgiving sinner, she has anointed his feet with oil. And then not only does the love anoint, but her love follows. This is something that we can't miss in this passage. But in verse 37 it says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. She followed him to Simon's house." She was seeking the Savior. She went there with the purpose to anoint him and to worship him. She went there, she was very driven, and she was very specific. She went weeping. She went washing his feet with her tears. She bows low to his feet and wipes his feet with her hair. She kisses his feet, and then she anoints him with the anointing of the alabaster box. And then we see that she follows him. She knew where he was at. She knew where he was going. She followed him to Simon's house, a Pharisee's house, mind you. A Pharisee who is thinking within, if he was a real prophet, if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. She didn't heed the reproaches of those around her. Don't you think she met some reproach when she came in the house? And I want you to know, listen, Christian, the world will always reproach us. We'll never fit in. We'll never be one of them. And if you do, something's wrong. Something's wrong. This world is not our home. We are ambassadors from heaven. We have a king. His name is Jesus. And we represent King Jesus in our celestial city, heaven. She didn't heed the reproaches of others. She loved him, and her love constrained her to follow through to make her way to Jesus. And she did. We're reminded in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And let me ask you tonight, are you following him? You know, the Christian life is not one of these things you just flippantly just do what you want to do. We have a master. We have a Savior. We have a God. And he has a specific will, and he has an expectation of his children, just as you have an expectation of your children. And we are to follow him. And then lastly, notice much love gives. In verse 37, it says that the woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. This alabaster box of ointment, it was her treasure. It was a year's salary to purchase. It was an import, imported from India, an ointment imported from India. It was put into a box that didn't have a lid or a cover. It was broken. It was used most of the time for the bathing of their beloved dead to offset the stages of death. And she had given a year's wages for this box. And when she came in, she broke it. The room filled with the beautiful, potent fragrance of the ointment, the perfume. And she anointed the body of Jesus and then came to his feet and anointed his feet. She brought her alabaster box of ointment. This was all her treasure. What box do you have to give to him? She laid it at his feet, but not just the box of ointment, but herself. Jesus speaks to Peter in John chapter 21. And he saith unto him the third time, this is the third time Jesus has said this to Peter. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. This is because he denied him three times. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Listen, my friend. Our love for the Savior is the issue. Our love for the Savior is the issue of our obedience, our disobedience to the Lord. And we need to ask ourselves, is our love for Christ, is it right? This woman loved him much. And that stuck out to me. The Bible says that loved him, and she gave much love to him, and her actions showed that. And I want to ask you, you know, what area in your life is God vacant in? You don't need someone. I've had some people tell me over the years, now, Pastor, I need you to keep me straight. You help keep me straight. I want to tell you, I'm not your daddy to walk behind you and keep you straight. You are to have a relationship of great love to him. And when your love is right with him, your life is right in all areas. In just a moment, we're going to serve the Lord's Supper. It's a wonderful thing. That first time, the Last Supper. And as we think of his body that was broken for us, and we think of his blood that was spilt for us, we all know these things, but it should move and develop into a deeper appreciation and a deep consecration of love to the Lord, to the point that it's our motivation of all that we do. Let me say this. Anything that we do for Jesus, if our motivation is not love, it's done in the flesh and it's no good. It's our love for him. Church, do you love him tonight? Let's stand. Father, help us tonight. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this woman, a great sinner, a wretched individual, and Lord, I'm not certain, but I believe it could be Mary Magdalene, and we see her great love for you, and we see her there at the cross, and we see her there in the tomb. God, help me to love you the way she does. Lord, I sure love you, but there sure is room for improvement. Lord, I preach to myself tonight. Lord, does my love, does it weep? Does my love, does it wash? Does my love bow myself down? Does my love kiss your feet and anoint your feet? Does my love give my alabaster? Does my love sacrifice? Lord, help me to love like this woman. She was able to touch you, to kiss your feet. One day, most of us who have had that spiritual awakening will know, we'll see you. But until then, may we love you like this woman. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I believe that you love your husband in a great way. I believe you love your wife in a great way. And I know you mothers love your children and your fathers. I believe you children and teens love your parents. But do you love Jesus the way you should? if we don't love the Lord the way we should, it doesn't seem that we get attention for it. If we don't love our parents way, it's they get our attention. If we don't love our spouse, there's attention and communication. Is your love for the Lord right? Before we serve the Lord's Supper, I invite you to come. Now, before you come, let me say this. Has there been a time in your life where you've confessed your sin and you've acknowledged God's love and forgiveness? Have you repented of your sin and turned from your sin and received the Savior? Do you know for certain, for sure, you're going to heaven? You cannot understand God's love until you've been born again. Where's your love at tonight? Before we serve the Lord's Supper, perhaps you need to confirm that love to Him here at the altar. Father, bless tonight. Help us to love You the way this woman loves. Lord, I'm afraid my love pales in comparison to hers. And I think others would agree with me about themselves. As we celebrate Easter Resurrection Sunday, may our love be refreshed, renewed, fervent. And may we live our lives with this fresh newness of adoration and love for You. In Thy name I pray. God speaking to your heart tonight. If you want to come and draw closer to Him and love Him, come now.